But he slipped through the crowd and walked away because it was not yet his time. As St. John would say, the hour has not yet come. They rejected Christ because they were not filled with his love. They wanted only the Jews, God's people, as they saw them, to be saved. When Christ referred to the non-Jews, the widow, at Zarephath, and Naaman, the Syrian, as being worthy of God's grace, they were outraged. So they were closed in their mind, and God was trying to push them out of their comfort zone. We sometimes can be closed also in our attitude towards others. And God wants us to be pushed out of our comfort zone, especially in this year of mercy. How can we be closed? Well, we can be simply closed because we fail to see as God sees. Life and death, earth and heaven, are connected. As these three steps lead to the presence of God in the sanctuary, there are three virtues by which we need to be saved. And in all the scriptures, in the 73 books of the Bible, only in one book, and you've heard the reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, does he refer to these three essential components. They're called virtues: faith, hope, and love. And one builds upon the other, just like these steps, one leads to the other. They're called theological virtues. All in all, there are seven virtues by which we are inspired and aided to do good works. Four are moral or cardinal, but three are what we call theological, or I call them God-centred. They're from God and they lead us to God, and we cannot enter into God's presence without them. Just like you can't open your car without your key, or if you don't have your credit card, you can't access the ATM. Well, you won't access the door of heaven without faith, hope, and charity. Faith is what we believe. The creed, the commandments, the sacraments, and prayer. It's intellectual. It's the revealed truths that Christ has given to his church. In short, it's the catechism. It's what we possess in our intellects, which uses the brain. Faith leads to hope. It's one thing to know. It's another thing to want it. Many people know what they ought to do, but they just don't do it. They never get around to it. So faith leads to hope, which is in the will. We need to want to be like Christ. We need to want to be in heaven. And hope is like a bridge that takes us from time unto eternity, from here to there. As there's a bridge going from this state to the next, so too hope is that bridge. And it's built upon two pillars. And those pillars can be brought down by two ugly flaws. One's called despair, the other's called presumption. People think they can go to heaven on their own, like pulling yourself up with your own bootstraps, where you can't. And people sometimes lose hope that they can go to heaven, that perhaps they've done too much that's unworthy of God. And they fall into despair, and that plummets them into darkness, and darkness brings down hope. So despair and presumption need to be fought against in order that the bridge to eternal life stays upright. And if it does, faith and hope will bring us to love. Now, love is completely and utterly different to the other two virtues. Though without it, you can't have love. Love is God, and God is love. As St. John would write in one of his letters, God is love. We are not. But by doing godly, loving actions, we become like God, and therefore more godly and worthy of God at the end of our life. So we need to do works of love, so that we might reflect God who is love within, which makes sense. Now, the problem is, what is love? The Beatles knew that. That's why they had that song, all about love. All you need is love. Well, that's true. All you need is love to enter into heaven. But what is love? The Greeks had four different verbs for our one verb of love. Of course, love and charity are the same words, just from different roots. So what is love? Well, love for a child is different. Love for teenagers is different. Love for a husband and wife is different. Of course, they're all different forms of love. But the word here that St. Paul refers to, in which couples love to have in their readings on their wedding day, as many of you I'm sure have heard this text on multiple occasions, is a rather unique verb. Pope Benedict a few years ago wrote an encyclical and made reference to this unique verb. The verb is agape or agapai, which isn't like the other verbs in Greek for love. In fact, it was rarely, if ever, used in classical Greek. And the Christians picked up on this, and wanting a new verb to explain how God loves us and how we ought to love him, they adopted this. Agapai might be translated in English as unconditional love, or utterly gift love, what God gives to us in order that we might give back to him the love he deserves. And that's the love we need in marriage to keep it going. That's the love we need in all our relationships. From God we receive it, and therefore we can give it unto others. Take home the bulletin, look at the text, what St. Paul says regarding this type of love. It's a love that just is so perfect. It covers all of our imperfections. It takes no pleasure in other people's sins, but delights in the truth, always ready to excuse, to trust, to hope, and to endure whatever comes. That's rare if you meet that in somebody who has only natural love, but not unusual for those who are endowed with supernatural love. At baptism, we receive these three virtues, faith, hope, and love, to know God, to want God, and to be able to love God. And we keep these virtues alive in our soul if we are in the state of grace, sanctifying grace, and they're active and functioning. The problem, however, comes when there's a conflict of love. You know, the child in the family wants a certain decision made, which might conflict with another child, or with an in-law, or with our spouse. What do you do when the mother-in-law wants to come and stay for 4 months, and you ought to love her? What do you do when father says, you should go on the retreat this weekend, and you'll come back as a better wife or husband, and your husband doesn't want you to go? Well, there's a conflict of interest with regards how we ought to love others. How do you resolve those conflicts? Because sometimes people make terrible mistakes and have the wrong hierarchy of love in their own lives. And sometimes people drop from supernatural love of other persons, and that's what makes the heart happy, to physical love of things. Of course, Gollum in Lord of the Rings has his love of the ring, which absorbs him and possesses him, and he loses his own identity. Why? Because we're called not to love things, but to love persons. And as Christians, to love them with supernatural love. On the front page of yesterday's paper, The Border, it was all about a football cricket man who has lost his love of persons and picked up a love of things. It's an addiction. He talks about his addiction in the paper. He's laid it all out there for all to see. But the point is, he loves something, but not someone, and he has now to fight that addiction. Think about all the addictions out there. When we drop our focus on the need of others and how we can give to others, we focus on what I get from this or that. Loving things never satisfies the inner person. We have a desire within. Our soul, our spiritual soul, needs to love a person. And the hierarchy or the priority ought to be God first, because God gives us this love and he wants it back. And in loving him, we can love others. So God must always take first priority in our life. Then if we have the vocation to marriage, our spouse comes second place. And then in third place comes our children. And after them comes the extended family, the in-laws, our own parents and so forth. And that's the hierarchy, that's the order of love. Of course, within our very being, we have all demands of our bodies, but at the same time, we ought to give love to the spiritual well-being of the person above their physical well-being. Always remember that the physical body one day will pass, but the soul will not. And he who is no fool to give up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. In other words, foster spiritual needs. Seek out the needs of others and provide for them, and also have yours being met. Because the spiritual well-being of the soul is what matters most of all at the end of the day. So we ask the good Lord to help us focus on these realities and to give God number one priority by keeping his commandments, coming to Mass, daily prayer and so forth, and then our spouse and our children. At times it's good just to take a stock take of where I'm at in all of that, so that we don't lose sight of how we ought to love and manifest this great virtue unto others. We want to lead others to heaven. We want to be in heaven. It's love that will make all the difference at the end of the day. In the words of the great lover of the cross, St. John, mystic and Spanish writer, all that will matter at the end of your life, when it's all passing, when all seems to be a faded, jaded colour, and he comes to beckon us, all that will matter is how much have you loved me. If we can say, God, I've loved you with all my mind, my heart and my soul, we shall be one with God for all eternity. Praise be Jesus Christ.